Everybody sees the dudes that, you know, when it's on TV or they see the end product, but nobody ever sees the behind the scenes. In football, we have a thing called inner ape, and it's your attitude, your preparation, and your effort. To me, it's like the attitude is your mindset. Like, you can control those three things, and that's all up to you. It has nothing to do with what Joe thinks or what I'm doing today, right? It's all of what I want to push forward and attack that day.
Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. And the point of today's episode, episode 77, is Jason Trusnik, the former NFL linebacker and special team staple, the head coach of Strongsville football, the owner of Pro Performance Sports, where we are now, a husband and father of three. Jason, thanks for being here. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Joe, for having me, and I look forward to chatting a little bit, talking mindset, and just speaking about where I've been and how I got there.
I'm super excited about it. You have an awesome story from what I know now. But my first question for you, Jason, is what is the best thing that there is to know about you?
Best thing to know about me? You're going to get what you get, and I'm just going to tell you I'm going to chase you down. And that's the way I kind of run life. That's the way I run business, coaching. I go and I'm not stopping. So I think that's just all areas of life of where I'm at.
I could see that being very appropriate given the shirt that you're wearing today, right? Not only are you just going to keep going, but it looks like you're going to do it in a fashion of greatness. Okay. Why does your shirt say be great today?
Well, a couple reasons, and I did strategically pick the shirt today. One, you only are guaranteed today. Right? We are. Like, no one says you get tomorrow. The good Lord does not say you get tomorrow. So why not today? Why not attack the day and give it everything it's got? I say this to, my players and everything. It's like, just give me 100% of what you got right today. You don't feel good, wake up, be great. You feel great, be even greater, right? Just give me what you got today. And I think that if you live like that, I don't live too much on the past or in the future. I'm living today, and this is what I got. So I'm going to live it to the fullest. And like you said, I'm gonna attack it one way or another. So some say a little too intense. I said maybe not enough.
Maybe not enough. That's right. I think that when you can tackle each day to that best of your ability too, it does ripple. So as much as you're not focused on the future or even the past, it gives respect to the past because you're like, no, I'm going to keep growing each day. And then also to the future by saying this compounding effect is going to be dangerously effective.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I think, you do got to learn from the past, right? That's strategically what you have to do. Of maybe it's a business, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's, we've all messed up, we've all done great things. So why can't we move forward and learn from it? For sure. So that can take into effect of what I'm doing today. And then the ripple effect of moving forward is whatever I do today is going to affect tomorrow and going to affect my whatever network and the way I do things and the way you move forward and things like that, moving forward. So yeah, ultimately it does affect you, but I'm definitely a live in the moment type guy, and we're gonna do this podcast, we're gonna do it to the full effect today.
I love it. Thank you for being here too. I'm excited. Definitely. Back in 2007, right? You were an undrafted free agent, didn't get drafted in the NFL draft, but ended up signed by the New York Jets. For someone who's trying to make it into such a tough field, that was an initial blow, but it didn't stop you, and you ended up receiving that call. Yep. How did you develop the work ethic necessary to be an undrafted free agent that eventually got that call?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think this goes all the way back to, when I was young. I was raised, by my dad, and I was the oldest of three boys. So it was literally four boys, and it was a daily war. It was a daily war for food. It was a daily war for workouts. It was a daily war in the house. And I just think the mentality of this whole never quit, keep pushing forward, working your tail off, being the best you can be, and then letting the rest handle itself. And ultimately, I think that just continued to carry on with me through high school. Like I said, didn't start till I was a senior. So for all those high school kids that are out there, man, I know it's happening earlier right now as far as, the recruiting and the NIL and all this kind of stuff. But honestly, just being a freshman at 112 pounds and not starting till I was a senior and then going to play Division III football. And I was like, man, that's just for fun, right? That's what Division III football is for, is just playing football for fun. But ultimately, this mindset behind me of just constantly like guy get hurt, I'm taking your job. I'm just going to continue to push forward and kind of stay in my own lane. And that constantly staying in my own lane, I think allowed me to get that phone call, right? And that phone call was, I still remember it to this day. I go back to it every draft year about that call Eric Mangini gave to me, man. And he did. He changed my life forever, and he's still a very good friend of mine. And it is truly special.
We'll touch more on the NFL in a second. What strikes me is that you're kind of the underdog consistently, right? Like at each moment, it was like, all right, didn't start to your senior year and undersized up until then, frankly, and that, which not the case now, but undersized up until that point. Then senior year comes around, great. You play well, end up going D3, play D3. Again, underdog mentality. If you were at D1, you know you're getting all the looks that would be maybe propelling you towards the league. Did you know that the dream was alive, or how did you recognize that maybe you could take it to that next step?
It wasn't until I would say my junior year in college where I played really, really well at the Division III level. End up being Defensive Player of the Year in Division III football across the country. And I think that obviously put me on the map from there. But, you know, it's just like everything else. Like, the door could open, the opportunity could be there, but what are you going to do with it, right? Mm-hmm. Can I come back my senior year and just kind of coast and get a look? Actually came back and actually got hurt a quarter before I wouldn't be able to come back for a fifth senior year. So I actually got really lucky. The good Lord was on my side and came back my fifth year with a vengeance of saying, hey, I finally got these looks and, you know, NFL scouts were looking at me and things like that. But I just knew, like, even the Division III level, obviously had some speed and size. But, hey, now it's, did he play hard enough competition? Did he do this? It was always a question of, can he do it? You know, what does it look like and all that kind of stuff? And, you know, so it was always this underdog mentality. And being able to get that opportunity and have people in-house, I think, ultimately allowed me to kind of even gain a little bit more confidence moving forward that, like, I can do this. Now I got to give me the opportunity. Let me see if I can show you that I can do this.
As you kept making the most of the opportunities that you did receive, you ended up getting a door seemingly closed on you when you weren't drafted, right? For many people, I think they would look at that and say, I gave it my all. This wasn't in the cards. Why did you not?
It was a lifelong dream, and two, if you know anything about me and my brothers, we do not like to lose. It doesn't matter what we're doing, what we're betting on, anything. So it was just this whole, like, you may close the door, but I'll keep trying to open it, right? And so it was this whole, I maybe didn't get drafted, had an outside chance, but ultimately got that phone call. I remember standing on the side of the house with Eric Mangini of the New York Jets, and he said, hey, look, we didn't draft you, but we want you to be a linebacker. You know, come in, be a walk-on, you know, see what happens, give yourself. They brought 90 guys into camp at that point and only keep 53. And from there, it was a head down, just, you know, fight the black tunnel and see if you can get to the other side. And it honestly was that. Back then we had 3 days, right? So it was this constant, like, battle with myself, right? Of like, am I supposed to be here? Can I show? But then a battle within of, you know, proving to the highest elite coaches and scouts that, look, you can trust me because this is who I am and this is what I'm going to give you every day.
That is the way to do it too, because if you're given the opportunity, you have to run with it. You take it for granted, right? There's this interesting perspective on procrastination, which I know is not exactly applicable, but that notion of, like, if you don't take the full opportunity when it's given to you, you're assuming that it's deserved again. And that's so, in a way, pompous, right? Like, it's a very unique perspective on procrastination. I think that someone who takes the most out of everything that's given to them is doing the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, because look, we're all going to get certain opportunities and certain things, but if you don't take it when it's given, it'll bypass. That door will close and, hey, more will open, but when, who, what, all that kind of stuff. So I knew right then and there that this was my opportunity. And hey, look, if it all closed and someone didn't want me, I can't control that. But what I am going to control is I'm going to wake up and we talk about be great today. You are going to get everything you got. And I remember training camp, there was defining moments that I still remember and still talk with coaches and stuff like that allowed me to ultimately make the team, right? And there was moments like that I know were because of my mental aspect that I have to keep going and not allow other dudes to slow you down.
I think it's important too, Jason, to celebrate a little bit of the small moments, the successes along the way, just to be human, right? So you've been working your tail off up to that point. You're on the side of your house and get that call from Mangini. By the way, what a legend of a name that you're throwing around right here too, right? So you get that call from Mangini. What was your reaction? Can you describe the moment? How did you feel about it?
It was something special. We had a bunch of people there one day, you know, there, and it was satisfying and confirming that everything I'm doing is right way and other people are seeing it, right? Because that's the ultimate, I think sometimes you know, you're working, who's gonna see me, right? Who's gonna give me that opportunity? Who's gonna see what I'm doing is right? And I think that's what it was. It was satisfying and confirming that says, hey man, all this hard work and all this belief in yourself and this all every day of practice and lifts and all this stuff that sometimes you can get mentally lost and say, I can stop. I'm not seeing a gain, or I'm not getting faster, or I'm not seeing the field. Maybe I'm a backup. It was just confirming, and it was a great day, and to celebrate with some of my closest buddies and family that day, still special.
I love that you still look at it now, right? It shows a great appreciation that you reflect on it when draft time comes around, too.
Oh, yeah. Every year. Because it's just every year you know that someone else is going to get that opportunity. Every year someone's going to make a team that probably shouldn't have, mm-hmm. right? They just brought a guy in to say, hey, you might be a body. And, so I reflect all the time like that because it allowed me to do what I'm doing today, right? Those moments like that allowed me to play and then give back today. So that's why I reflect on it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a great way to grow. And you mentioned in your reflection as well that there were standout moments in camp that really propelled you towards making the roster. Talk to me a little bit about that. How did you know that those moments particularly were going to be, or ended up being so defining?
Yeah, I would say there's probably two moments that I could remember through training camp. One, sitting in the dorm room when, you know, I was at this point 21 years old and, you know, just sitting around with some vets and just, I love just talking, seeing where guys came from and what they did. And they're like, man, just keep going. You are doing a great thing. You're going to make at least practice squad because you work your ass off. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. How do you know that? You're not making the decision, right? So that was one. And then two, which I know Eric Mangini still talks about. He kind of did a podcast around the draft that I sent out a little bit, but it was talking about like DeBrecker Shaw Ferguson was an offensive tackle, great dude. They drafted him, I think, first overall that year. And I came in and I launched him a couple of times in practice. I was playing defensive end, and I know I remember it. And I think it was one of those like, okay, here's this big defensive end or offensive tackle, and here comes this D3 guy from Ohio Northern. And he was able to do that. Okay, now he can play at that level of competition. It was no question anymore. And I know that was a little bit of a defining moment. Like, hey, just get me here let me keep going. So I remember those. One, just from a confirming of, hey, people see I'm working my butt tail off, not just scouts, but also, you know, launching and, you know, pass rushing against someone that's supposed to be the top guy in the draft allowed me this little free agent guy from D3, 8 Ohio, you know, Nordonia High School was like, hey, you know, he can play. And those two defining moments, I think, allowed me to kind of, you know, end up making the team.
It's so great, too, to hear stories like that because it's that whole David and Goliath situation, mm-hmm. right? Like, the guy's going in the first round and you're coming in, again, trying to just fight for a spot. He's good. He's like, I know I'm making the team. Yep. I don't have to worry about anything.
All day.
Yeah.
All day.
Like, there's nothing to worry about. You're coming in, you get to just rock him.
Yeah. That's,
The talent of the NFL is so extreme, right? This is like the best of the best at their sport. Mm-hmm. Often I think that we hear from people, maybe common folk like myself, who are like, oh, like I could, whatever the hypothetical situation is, complete the pass, make the tackle, slip through the hole, whatever the case may be. How big of the gap is it between people in the NFL and the rest of us?
The rest. I think it's a lot bigger than most think, right? When you go, you know, 6% play college football, and then you go even smaller. I think it's like 0.0025 playing in the NFL. Like, there is a rhyme and a reason. Are there a lot of guys that don't make it that could make it? Yes. But the being at the elite level and playing that, I think it's very explosive. It's hard hitting. It's a different game. And I think most people don't realize like what the level is. And I gotta tell you a funny story is, you know, my first game coming off a practice squad, my special teams coach, Mike Westhoff, who's actually going to the Hall of Fame this year. Great dude. One of my first games was against Dallas Cowboys. this back, they had like 6'7", 320 to 345 or 45 pound O-linemen. And that was when you could have four-man wedges. And I ran down and I was a wedge buster, and coming down my first game, it was on Thanksgiving Day. I remember vividly because the first thing that hit the ground was my helmet and shoulder pads on my back because I got lit up. And coming down trying to wedge bust, and I'm like, so I remember sitting in film and he's like, hey, this, he puts on film, he's like, hey, welcome to the NFL. And that was the defining moment. I'm like, man, one, I got through training camp, but now my first game, and it is a different, going from a preseason to regular season, I mean, it is different. Dudes are out, they're hungry, they're feeding families, they want to have a great life for themselves. And I'll tell you, I think of a lot of sports, that is, you know, get in someone's way, see what happens. So
yeah,
it is a different bird. And I was special to make it, but it is definitely, and even the elite of that is even, right, you know, even greater.
Yeah, I think about that, right? You think of like the Randy Mosses, the Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase of the world, like the talent is so extreme. I was curious, what were some of your takeaways just being around that company? Because we've all heard that philosophy, right? You're the best of the least of the five people you surround yourself with, right? That whole notion that you drive from what you're around. So being in that environment of all the best, what were some of your big takeaways that you've been able to apply into your life now today?
Well, I think what I love is, like, if you really truly, I was around quite a few guys that were really, really special, and their level of preparation, you know, I had a great chance to be around a guy like Luke Kuechly, right? And watch the level of preparation and watch him know everything that was going on the field. That's the part I love, and I try to teach these young kids now in high school that level of preparation, understanding what's going on. It's even at a simpler form in high school. Guys like Jason Taylor, who had a chance to play with one of the greatest teammates, you know, he had no right to maybe be friends with the guy that was second, third, fourth, fifth year, whatever, and he was in 15. So it was one of those, like, just being a great teammate, right? Who sometimes got a bad rap, but Adrian Peterson, like, I've been around some great dudes, watch him run and the way he prepared, and he runs like a horse, and watched him run in 2 feet of snow doing sprints. Like, to me, it's like these dudes that you're around and saw these, you know, things. Like, are there a lot of great dudes that are doing great things? Yes. But to watch the dudes that are in the Hall of Fame, three of them, prepare and the mental and be a great teammate and things like that, to me, those are some of the things, like, those things stick out to me more than anything. Like, we had a lot of great times, don't get me wrong, locker room, you know, going out, dinners, games, travel, that was awesome. But some of those right there, I mean, that's you can see why those dudes are the elite, not only in their training, but their play, and honestly being why they were part of great teams and being leaders and things like that, so.
That's what kind of enamors me about the whole thing, Jason. And I'm blown away when people are like, oh yeah, I could, again, pick the hypothetical situation, thinking they could do it. Because what we see is the perfected craft on game day, mostly, right? And what I think separates these talents is not just the talent, but particularly the part that you have to do, right? Yeah. Like, the parts that's just non-innate. It's you need to work hard. It's you need to show up every day. It's the things that you train yourself to do. Yeah. Like, someone that's athletic is going to have that just naturally given to them. The rest of that is trained. Adrian Peterson running at 2 feet of snow is discipline beyond any other way of the word. Yeah. I think those are the parts that, those stories are really what stand out to me, because that's what the rest of us can all do, regardless of whether we're built like Adrian Peterson or not.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, like, it's, and they they always say it, but do people actually do it, right? Like, when it's dark and no one sees behind closed doors, everyone sees the great painting, right? Everybody sees the dudes that, you know, when it's on TV, or they see the end product, but nobody ever sees the behind the scenes. And that goes for a lot of things, right? That goes for businesses, that goes for, you know, sports. Like, I mean, literally goes for everything. So what are you doing when it's dark and when it's, or no one's there, or you're working out by yourself and you're doing all these things? A, you're doing it because you love to and you're trying to get better, but B, you also, you don't even know where the end game's at. I think that's hard for people to do, is like, can I keep going? I don't know the end game. And can I do it when it's dark and I'm not the center of attention and on that? And I think that's ultimately where the elite step up. That's where the few very percent have very successful businesses and things like that. So that's the part that I love, is like, man, just, yeah, do you want to be seen sometimes and you want to be on TV? Yeah, great. But there's a lot of things that go behind it. And that's ultimately, the fun part too.
And that's been you, Jason, right? Like, again, like, going back to that story from earlier, it's you putting in the work, not knowing It's the dream. Yeah. I've got brothers. It's the dream, but I don't know. Right? I don't know for sure. And I already had this door closed once, but I'm going to barge right through it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, the amount of doors that could have been closed for me and things like that, and even till today, it's just, man, keep going. Keep grinding. I love the daily grind. I'll, you know, whatever it is and everything I do, it's hard and fast, and I'm coming at you. So that's the part I love. It's like, man, we only get one shot around. So you're gonna get what I got, mm-hmm. that's for sure. So
I would imagine one of the great days, and I know it's one of the great days because you posted about it on Instagram a couple years ago. As someone, I'm gonna dive into it. As someone who grew up outside of Cleveland, right here in the area, the greater Cleveland area, you were a Browns fan, and one of the pictures you posted is you tackling legendary quarterback for the Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger. Talk to me a little bit about what that had to be like, right? It's you're getting to play with your hometown team that you grew up a fan. You get to tackle the guy that's the arch nemesis of our organization at the time, forever, by the way, but of the time. And you're just living it out. Like, that seems like such a full circle moment. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was, so we had season tickets down at the old stadium. We had them right behind the pole. I'm proud my dad probably couldn't afford the ones next to the pole. So we always had them at the old stadium. So it goes back, like, man, I love the game of football. I love it. And so being able to come back to Cleveland, that was year four, and Mangini brought me back here. And being able to step foot in the new stadium, again, where we had season tickets 4 years ago before I got to college, or before I got to the NFL, I was sitting in the stands watching games. So to be able to sit in that tunnel, I can vividly tell you every moment about that, but standing there and running out on your own home field, super cool. Now, probably just long enough, I have a huge family. So a year and a half or 2 years was plenty here in Cleveland, but being able to run there, and honestly, it was cool. It was my first game. Right, that was my first game as an NFL guy back in Cleveland. Was able to, you know, play against Ben Roethlisberger and coming in and running out that tunnel. And honestly, yeah, I do. I only had a few sacks, but I do remember that one. He's a big boy. I mean, he's all of 6'5", 6'6", 240, 245. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Like I said, I don't tell the stories often like that, but I think it's cool for, you know, young kids that are, you know, that I'm coaching or things like that. Oh, you sacked Big Ben and the Steelers and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So super cool moment for me to kind of look back on and, you know, have being part of the Browns. And, you know, I still Browns fan today. And, you know, I want my son to continue to love the sport and, you know, love the Browns too.
Yeah, I think you have to have both, right? You got to celebrate, again, those small wins and just like the fun stories. It gives that humanity part of it. As much as the grind is so important, you got to have the humanity of, like, that was a huge payoff moment. Like that in and of itself, it's fascinating. It's super cool. And it's interesting for all of us to hear.
Well, I think when you go back, like if you've, you know, like I said, I don't reminisce too much, but you go back to college, you're like, man, you're this small little D3 guy going there. The odds of 6-7 years later going in and sacking Ben Roethlisberger and, you know, doing a couple other little things, it kind of some defining moments that I had, pretty cool. Not just going through the league and playing for a long time, but having a few defining moments was pretty cool for me.
At some point, you know that the defining moments of one chapter of life are coming to an end.
Yep.
You decided 2017, right, to hang up the cleats. How'd you know?
Well, we'll go back. I didn't. If you ask people today, I would still play. I still think I can play. My dad's like, you're healthy. Just go walk away. We're good. But at some point in the NFL, either you age yourself out. Sometimes, you know, what it comes down to is vet minimum's too high because things like that. So, you know, I got to play 10 years. I was healthy. I probably would have still played. But again, it's the opportunities. And at some point, you don't get that opportunity, right? And to not be welcome back in camp and things like that. It was hard. I would say for the first year, it was very, very hard to, hey, something I've done since I was 6 years old and continue to work for, you know, basically, you know, almost 30 years through the youth, and that, for that chapter to close, was a little bit hard. It was a little bit hard for me, the mentality of it, of saying, hey, you don't have this brotherhood, you're not going to practice, and you're that, and now, well, how does that flip the mental side of it, like, of everything you've done, and now moving forward? So it took a little while, but, you know, I was fortunate to have some things to fall back on, which have allowed me to stay sane, I guess.
Yeah, I think those gut punches are the ones that really test you, right?
Yeah.
It's like when things are grooving and you're in your grind of the day-to-day, you know what you're expecting, right? You know what's coming in for another NFL season, but when that comes and it flips everything on its head and you have to hang it up, not even by your choice sounds like that, that's an exceptional time for you to figure out like, all right, who am I? Let's get back to that and let's go forward into the next chapter. I know in 2014, you'd opened to where we are now.
Yep.
Pro Sports Performance looks great. Yep. I mean, those places are amazing. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, definitely.
As someone who was in the NFL, I think sadly, unfortunately, we hear a lot of times pro athletes don't use their resources in a way that's beneficial for others or even themselves. Yeah. Right? They end up in trouble with their money. They're down and out with their luck, seemingly. You didn't have that situation. Talk to me about this, Jim, and why is it your outlet now?
Yeah, it's definitely my outlet. There's two things I love. I love coaching, so I got to coach my son and my kids in the area. So that was one. And now two with the gym is one, I'm a gym rat, right? Two, this is my locker room, right? I don't get that anymore. So to me, this is my locker room, whether it's the adults, whether it's the athletes and things like that. So I say I get to coach athletes and I get to coach adults and teach performance and teach workouts and teach mental, try to teach it all. I mean, I preach in here and things like that. That's just who I am. So to me is I get to put all these things under one roof and I get to bring stories and I get to push people to the limits and things like that. Like I know we're different. I tell people all the time, we do different here and it's not for everybody, but I know we all got more inside us. So to me, it's like, you know, there's people that push me in here too. Like I need it. I need someone to take me down and conquer me. So I'm not always up here. Right. So like, that's the part I love is this competition and mental, but man, I love waking up. I'm here in the morning and, you know, ready to go. But, to me, it is my out. It is my out to continue to move forward, but to also give back to the things that I love as far as, you know, the working out and how important our health and fitness is, you know, especially this day and age with everything that's going on. Like,
for sure.
What's the ultimate goal moving forward? I want to be moving and I want to be running and I want to, my grandkids and everybody moving forward.
So you talk about the different piece.
Yep.
Is it that extra mile, that 1% better notion that you think makes PSP different than the rest of the opportunities in gyms around?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think what we bring here from the mental aspect, to do things that you will never do in your entire life. And I say do, like, just to me is, you know, a guy the other day, 55 years old, ran his first mile, 55 years to run your first mile, or to a lady maybe doing something she's never done before,
yeah.
To an athlete pushing themselves to the limit, you know, on farmer's carry for however long, like just something so simple, because to me, I love, there's a great, you know, Eric Thomas, who's, you know, does public speaking now. And he always says like, look, you can be great, but there's somebody inside you that's tougher, that's more disciplined, that sacrifices more. So that just tells me we all got more in us. It's just a matter of one, is there somebody that can open the door for us? Or B, can I physically, or can I mentally get it out of myself and push it to the next limit? Because we can all do it. It's just some people are scared, they're fearful, you know, things like that. And no one, sometimes we don't want to lose, right, those things. But ultimately, like, that's the part. Like, what can I pull out of something so simple in your mental capacity to do something great? And if I can do that for you, great. Tell people, if not, in the nicest way, there's the door,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
But I'm not for everybody. There's other gyms and there's other things for you. But you, if you step in the door, you will be better here and I will make you better and I will challenge you in every aspect. And to me, that's, I love that. I love that part.
We're all our biggest inhibitors, yeah. Right? So if you're creating a community, which you are, that helps push people forward.
Yeah.
I think people need that too, right? Like sometimes because we are our biggest inhibitors, we need other people to bring us out of that, which is what you're doing. And you're building a whole set of others that are around you doing the same thing for each and every person that comes in here.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, even like you said, I'm a head coach of football. You know, our rules, if you miss a day, you got to run a lap. Or if you're late, you got 20 burpees. Well, I walk in late, I got 20 burpees. So I do my burpees, like hold me accountable. And these are 17-year-olds holding me accountable. Like, I love that part. Like, we all need it. It's just a matter of one, are we gonna follow through on it? And two, are you gonna hold somebody else? So like, to me, that's part of everyday living for me. So yeah, I mean, me and my kids, we bet push-ups all day. We bet, you don't do something, you got push-ups. I mean, wherever you are. So
totally.
It's fun.
That it's is fun. It's something too that's so obviously good. Right, like there's no, like doing push-ups is not a bad, like it's never gonna be bad.
No,
so like that's what's so cool about it. Like, yeah,
you're not gonna ground you, you're just gonna do 100 push-ups,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, sorry. And you're gonna be better because of it. What's the difference? We're in Strongsville, yeah. Where you also, as we've talked, are the head football coach.
Yeah.
The team prior to your arrival was kind of struggling. Mm-hmm. You've managed to turn that around. You guys are on a great upward trend. Again, sticking with the Jason mindset, we're on an upward trend. It's the only way to go. What's allowed you to come in and flip a program around? Because that's tough to do.
Yeah, for sure. I believe in myself. And if I believe in myself, they can believe in themselves, right? One of the mentalities is you can't do it here at a public school. There's too many private schools. They're too big. They're too fast. We don't have enough guys. I say bullshit, right? Like, here we are. This is what we're doing. So I believe in myself, and I want them to believe in themselves. Next, I think it's just the fundamentals of the game. Got a really great staff that allows us to teach high fundamentals that, we got a couple head coaches, a couple guys that played in the NFL and have brought some high level of, when you're there, there's a reason you made it that far. My O-line coach, the way he coaches the O-line and stuff, I mean, it's the high level stuff. So teaching the fundamentals and techniques instead of just saying, hey, go play football, right? And then the third one, I call it the respectful dog mentality. It's like one of those, like, that's the way I was. Like, I wrestled and played football. So when you stepped inside the white line at a wrestling mat or the football field, you got to have something different. You got to click a different way to say, like, it's illegal to whoop somebody right here, right? And whether we win or lose, I tell them all the time, whether we win or lose, let that team get on the bus and just not want to come back here because they got beat.
Yeah.
And they might have walked away with the win, but they don't want to come back because we got in there. But then when you flip side that, like, that's the dog mentality. But when you walk back across, it's like, hey, can you shake Joe's hand? Can you kiss your mom goodbye? Can you hug your girlfriend respectfully? Be a respectful person in the community. To me, I think that's a good switch. And that's what I'm really, really ultimately, like, you go back, that 6% play college football. Like, if I could teach anybody one thing, is that respectful dog. Like, when you step on the field, like, I got your back, you got mine, we're going to war. But when you step off, you're going to be a respectful person in the community, at work, with your family, in school, and things like that. So, between those three things is really what I constantly preach every single day.
Man, that respectful dog is so tangible because it is. It's bigger than just, you can't just be a good football player. Like, that doesn't cut it, right? Yep. Like, because then that chapter will close at some point. So what are you without that? And when you're injured or when the time comes where the ugly head shows its face, who are you? What do you have to build upon?
Yeah.
And so when you can have that respectful piece too, that applies to every other aspect in your life.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Like, am I gonna be the first person to tell you don't talk shit on the field? No, I do. But at the same time, can you beat somebody and win with class at the same mm-hmm. time, right? There's nothing worse than whooping somebody and just walking away with a smile. Like, to me, it's like, you can be that type of person. And to me, it's like what I'm constantly preaching and trying to change, because all these kids come from the rich, the poor, whatever, whatever their family background is teaching that, because you can win with class, you can win with the right mentality, and you can win. Just let me lead you, and just follow, right? And hopefully it brings out the best in you. And that's what we constantly preach every single day. And hey, I love part of it because it's a constant challenge. 130 kids is a constant challenge.
Yeah.
But we are on the right path, and I look forward to the coming year. So we are on the right path, though.
You keep talking about the confidence piece, and I think it's important for everybody, mm-hmm. but I think it's especially important for teens who are going through a bunch of just life changes, life situations that they've never had before, and that are developing into who they're supposed to become, right? So what are you seeing that is a need for these students, these players now, that maybe is different from when you played?
Yeah, for sure. Honestly, there is a little bit of difference. Mm-hmm. I say it's a little bit because the world's changing, right? There's the social media side. There's videos everywhere, things like that, which is a changing piece. I do think if I'm going to be honest, the parental side of it is not being involved in as much as their lives, right? Is sometimes it leaves these young kids out to do whatever they want. And what I love is I'm an old school mental side. Like, no, nothing's changed. The leadership needs to continue to push the kids to a level of maybe their ex, right? We can all, Ben Newman says, like, you can't exceed the expectations that you don't put on yourself, right? Like, if I don't have higher expectations, then how do I really, if I don't want to believe up here that I can believe it and have high expectations for myself, well, then you'll just stay mediocre. So to me, is like, these kids, like, whether it's school or not, like, my kids aren't allowed to use the word I can't. Like, that ain't happening. You can. We might fail. You might not get there. You might not get that B or that A in school, but you better give it your damn shot. Right? You may not become a starter. You may not be a starter in soccer, or you may not win the championship, but I'll tell you what, we're going to fight and go. So to me, it's like having this expectation of yourself, like, it's up there. And I think more kids need it. It's just holding yourself accountable, knowing you could do it. But the belief, it's hard, right? You're growing, especially 13, 14, right. 15. Yeah. Sometimes you don't have this confidence. Like, you know, so it's up to a parent. It's up to a coach, a mentor, a teammate, something like that to help you get there. And that's what my goal is to, is like say, man, you can do something special. You can change your life. Maybe you came from something that maybe you had nothing growing up. Be the first that can. Or maybe you're greater. Maybe let's be better. Whatever that is constantly moving forward in the right way.
It's so important to have examples, right? Like, it's so important for all of us to know this can be done because of whoever's done it before you. And so I think to have someone who is in their world that's talking the language that they're familiar with is imperative. How do you take it? You said you have 130 kids from just being the spokesperson to making it a personal relationship and making it all the more effective that way.
That's a great one. I think one of the things is I think now that they've known me for a long time is that I've been through a lot of what they've been through, right? We've been talking about it the whole time is, you know, I was came from a divorced family. I was a very, very small kid in high school until my senior year. Didn't start to my senior year. I was a starting quarterback, told I wasn't starting, went to defensive end. Went to Division III, was an injury away from, you know, not playing ever. Played the NFL for 10 years. I don't know what that percentage is, but it's very, very small. Just from a mental, yes, you got to have the size, you got to have the speed, but this nonstop mentality. And I think that's ultimately why I can relate to so many kids is, you know, like I said, I love bringing it all the way back down. Like, I don't ever put myself up there that I played 10 years. I put myself back down here like I was a high school kid trying to fight for a starting quarterback job. But I think these relationships that I can form with these kids is, look, I didn't have a ton of money. Hey, I wasn't a starter. Hey, man, I've been injured. I got injured my first year in the NFL and sat out for 10 months, right? So I fought all these battles. And I think when you can relate to kids like that, it allows me, one, to get close with them, two, to believe in them that, hey, I tell the kids all the time, the little kid that hasn't hit puberty, he might be our best kid when he's a senior. You really have no idea. So, like, that relationship building is super, super powerful. And then they can start to believe in you and start to respect in you. And then you start to build that mentality and the change. And, hey, man, let's go to war together. Now we can get as many, hopefully 130 guys to go to war together. And now we got something special.
That untapped potential piece is something that unifies all of us. We all have untapped potential, par for our conversation. So I think when you can really make it personal too and like apply it, hey, I know this is what you're going through right now. We've all had battles. Let's get on to the next one because you know it's coming too and you just keep going.
Right, for sure. I mean, we have, everybody has these battles every day. I mean, right? There's people battling cancer. There's people in battling injuries, battling a job, whatever it is. But like, you know, it's just one of those things with the right mentality. I think it's just built within, you know, a little random. But like my uncle's had MLS. They gave him like 2 years. The dude is still fighting 12 years later. He does not care.
Yeah.
He goes, care. He's like, man, I'm going to keep going. You ain't stopping me. And to me, it's like, yeah, maybe there's something there. But still, it's just the mentality. This mind is so much stronger and we can do so much more. But to me, there's a lot of weak-minded people out there that don't think they can do something and they'll back off. And next thing you know, you're in the same hole that you're not climbing this mountain that we got to keep stepping. And to me, it's just one of those things that's like, man, mindset of it is just you can control it and people don't think they can. That's the thing, like you control. Say it all the time, like in football, we have a thing called inner ape and it's your attitude, your preparation and your effort. To me, it's like the attitude is your mindset. Like you can control those three things and that's all up to you. It has nothing to do with what Joe thinks or what I'm doing today, right? It's all of what I want to push forward and attack that day. That's up to me, or attack that practice or attack that lift or attack that relationship or attack, you know, business, whatever you got going on.
That's what fascinates me about you, Jason, is I'm all in on that. I think that to me, again, like the story of tackling Ben Roethlisberger, that's fascinating. That's great. But it's how did you get there and all of the steps along the way where you kept going and you knew every day, like, the only thing I can control today is how I approach this and what am I going to do about it?
That's it, because you're going to hit a million situations. You're going to hit so many things in a day. You get so many choices in a day. You're going to come across so many people in a day. You can either let them change you. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I have plenty of my flaws all fight these battles. So I'm not perfect in any means. But it's constantly like, how do we continue to move forward? And you're going to go through this emotional roller coaster, but can we mentally stay stronger? And can we continue to believe and have this confidence? And man, it all flows from one thing to the next, right? From anything we're doing. And it's a daily battle that I love to fight.
You grew up with this. You mentioned in an interview with the Medium, I want to read the quote explicitly, that, well, you attribute it to your father, right? And we've already talked about that, but I want to read the quote specifically, that he instilled in you all a mindset of hard work, dedication, and not giving up. And you mentioned, just like you say with your kids, that you were not allowed to talk about giving up or quitting or can't, anything like that when you were with him. For someone who didn't grow up in that environment, what would be your action steps to start training the mind so that they could have that approach, that person could have that approach?
Yeah, it's great. I think one is, you know, I think we all need a mentor. You said, right? Like the small circle of five people, right? What's that look like around you? You hang out, maybe it's a little bit more, maybe it's a little bit less, but I truly believe that you do need somebody to help you get through there and things like that. But if not, is just continue to find, yes, you got to find yourself, but continue to find the mental side of it, of how can you get a little bit better each day? If you came from nothing, like, how do I get to the next day? How do I get through practice? And like, how do you work on this mental aspect? I mean, I think there's so many ways, from whether it's a reading, everybody has the ability to read something. Everybody has the ability to talk to somebody, find a mentor. Everybody has the ability to read a podcast or listen to a podcast and find something. So I think there are enough things out there. But ultimately is continue to push forward each and every day, and not this whole woe is me, right? I love the Navy SEAL approach, right? Like, you read some of these guys are like, there's no reason that I should be a Navy SEAL, right? I'm fat, I'm overweight, I can't do this, there's no reason I should ever made it. And their whole thing was like, wake up, make your bed, shit, I can get through lunch. Oh, I can get through this workout because I get to go to dinner and I get to go to bed. So I'm gonna think I can just get to bed and I'm gonna get to lay in that bed. And guess what? I get to wake up and do it tomorrow, instead of saying, hey, how do I get through Buds Camp? You're screwed. You're ringing the bell. So to me, it's like these kids, like, how do I just get through my daily activities and daily things? But I think also, like I said, I truly believe that you need a mentor or somebody to hold you. It's hard. If not, you're just floating. It's hard. And it's hard. And it's hard for young kids too. That's why I think it's very important.
The psychology behind it is that you do need to break down the large, right? If you look at it on the grandiose scale, of course you don't know. You need to make the action steps along the way. And I think that's the importance of the mentor.
Yeah.
Who else in your life have been inspirations like your father? And what have you taken from them?
Yeah, I mean, definitely my dad that we talked about, this whole never quit mentality. I will say, I look up my younger brother, started his company, very, very successful. Watch him, you know, take and open a multi-million dollar company and, you know, 6 months open to himself and said, I'm going to take this chance and I'm going to do it for life, right?
That's amazing.
You know, I think it's a lot of my family. I was just grew up there. My grandfather worked his butt off, had, you know, we had 35 cousins, and just, it was this constant grind and constant work and things like that. But, and then I would think at the end of the day, it was just, you know, like I said, Eric Mangini and Mike Westhoff, two of my coaches, that, you know, you talk about the mentality of it, but also the back end of like who ultimately gave you that opportunity, and they both did, and been able to keep a long-term relationship with them. One, they respected the way I played and the way I handled my business, but two, I respect them for giving me the opportunity to have my back. And I think ultimately, like, you need somebody like that, right? Like, who pushes you, but then do they also support you, right? And I think that's ultimately super hard, because there's people that push you and they'll just leave you out to dry. But who can support you along the way and give you that opportunity? And like, you know, I say the ultimate goal of success is like, when you get there, do you have a team with you, right? Or are you ultimately just this guy by yourself because you kind of burned a lot of bridges and you just thought you were the man? Like, to me, it's like, just, man, you need people on your team, because we're all in this together.
One of my favorite philosophers talks about that. He describes a great friend is someone who can be there for you when it's difficult, but the best of friends are those who can celebrate it with you at the end.
Yeah, no doubt.
And it's so true. I think too, there's just so much value in being able to analyze kind of that which is around you. And I think that for you and what I'm hearing across the board when I have these conversations, a common thread of inspirations from people are those who grow with you. It's not someone who's, even if they've made it, that says like, I'm here, take all of my knowledge. It's different. It's like, I'm here, let's grow together.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a common thread from your dad to the coaches, to all of the, even I'm sure the students that hold you, the players that hold you accountable at 17, like, burpees. Yeah. Let's go, coach, right? I think that that common thread of growth is something that's so integral for inspiration that we drive.
Yeah, there's no doubt because, look, no one's really made it by themselves, right? We all needed a mentor. We all needed someone to believe in us, right? And all help us along the way. Or, you know, I love helping somebody get to a level of maybe where they maybe they could never get because they didn't know how to do it, right? Same thing, like I try to find mentors that, hey, are trying to get somewhere and aren't afraid of the competition of doing the same thing, right? Can I teach you what I'm doing to get me where you're at, right? And I think I love that. And that's why even in the gym here, having conversations with people that are very, very successful, and there's so many ways to do everything, right? Like, so can they help you along the way? And that's a true testament, I think, of, you know, a person and their character and just the type of, you know, good faith and they have, and, you know, in you and believe in you, but also you have that connection is, you know, super close.
You mentioned the faith piece. What keeps you grounded to keep going each day?
Oh, I mean, my family and faith, I think that's number one, because one, I can't do this by myself, right? You need some people to believe in you. Like I said, maybe you have a family or don't, you need to find that mentor or a friend that believes in you. But I think also my kids look up to me. I want them to be successful. I don't want them to fall in the trap of, you know, this is the way kids are these days and this and that. So like, I'm constantly pushing them to the mindset of like, this is, you'll grow at a certain age and you'll get to this level, but that mentality approach of like, man, you sometimes it's gonna be you against the world, sometimes you're gonna have help, but pushing that. So I think those things keep me grounded. Losing keeps me grounded. That's why I said with the gym or doing something like that, or you know, because I was always challenged. Like someone asked last year, you know, what was a record? We were 8-2. I tell them we were 0-1. We lost in playoffs. Like, to me, it's like that constant challenge. Like, losing, believe it or not, grounds me and doesn't discourage me. Like, it wants me to say, hey, I'm going to show up tomorrow. I'm going back to work. We're going to show back up. We're going to go to practice. If I have something go wrong in the family, like, we're going to show up. We're going to go back to work. And this whole, like, some people look at it as losing, like, oh, shit, my day's over. I'm like, if I lose, I'm probably going to ask you to bet again, or we're competing right on the spot.
That's it.
Like, we're going again right now.
Yep, another chance to ante up again. When you look down the line, I know you mentioned that you're not a big future-looking person, but when you look down the line, which I would argue with that, by the way.
You're
good. When you say that losing, if losing's important, right, in the sense that you get to go again, then there's definitely a futuristic appreciation.
There is.
But that's right. we don't need to dive into that. To that point, though, when you look down the line, what do you see, Jason, as the end game for you, for the gym, for the football world, your involvement in it all?
Yeah, you're good. wherever it takes me, you know, I say, you know, whether I have this gym for 20, 30 years, whether I coach for another 20, 30 years, whatever it is, there will be always a piece of me that will need the competition. And I say the competition, it's the competition of being better. It's the competition of, you know, the mental side. Can I continue to push myself and my mind at a length? Can I continue to help others, whether it's in the gym or whether it's coaching? That is a makes it satisfying for me to say, hey, you got better because of me. Hey, I pushed you to a limit. You might not liked it at the moment, but when someone comes back to me, it's like, you know what? You made me better and you did something. I did something because you forced me. I might have not liked you. I have people that don't like me on the spot, but in the long term. So like all these things, it'll be a part of me for a lot. Whatever that is, it has to be part of what I do. At 42 years old, we got plenty of time. And I think that's the ultimate goal right now, right? Like, I mean, there's a chance that with technology today or in the background, we might live to 120, 130, right? And how fast this grows. So like, what's our, to me, is like quality of life moving forward when we get to 60 and 80. Like, shit, I mean, there's a guy in here in the gym that's 72. To me, is like, my goal is to beat him and be better, right? Like, so like, to me, it's like, I need this part of all these certain things, whatever it is, whether it's a job or, you know, the gym or coaching or whatever. I need that aspect of helping somebody get better because of it. But then also to me is like the competitive pushing part of like, hey, can I continue to do something that maybe I could, or something different that I've never done before, pushing forward.
None of that surprises me, right? That seems very par for the course, and it's so innate, right? Just this desire to just keep being better and to achieve the best until your next best, and then the next best after that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the essence of what this style of gym is, right? You're helping people along the way, of course, and you're doing it in a community way, which ties into the really doing it with people piece of it.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, that's what I was. You know, you step into the gym, you're getting better. My ultimate goal with football, I say by, you know, in the next couple of years, is my goal is to shut down the city, right? Like, someone's like, you're crazy. I'm like, yeah, we're going to find out. Like, I want to be that good and have that much of an impact that people want to come watch you play, that we've shut down and made Friday Night Lights. Like, I love that part, and to have that challenge and whatever that looks like to, you know, I don't have to be the best gym, but I'm going to be the one that makes you the best, mm-hmm. right? I don't have to be the best football team, but man, we're going to win games because maybe it's through the grit, and maybe it's just because we outbelieve them and things like that. Like, it's high school football. We can do those types of things. You know, the family, the same thing. Like, let's be the best we can be as a unit. And, you know, that's just, like I said, attacked from a very, very young age, and that, you know, move forward. And that's who I am today.
Part of the aspect of Chats with Clark that I think helps all of us grow together, one of the best aspects of our podcast, is the closing litany that we dive into, which we're about to go into now. It's five questions, and I'm going to start with the first one. I really think that people who live with gratitude on their minds and live a grateful life have a better lives and are happier than those who do not. Yeah. What role, Jason, does gratitude play in your life?
Oh, everything. This is to be able to play at the highest level and bring myself back down to help a young man, young woman, you know, or somebody in the gym, like, to me is like, that has so much gratitude to say, hey, like, I don't do it because I need anything back. I'm gonna help you and whatever it may be when you move forward, but eventually it'll all circle back to you.
It's so important for just recognizing all of the great areas of our lives and then just wanting even more, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I don't mean it in a gluttonous way, but in the way of like, let's just keep living more fully.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's no doubt.
The second piece is regrets. Do you have any regrets in your life? And if so, what have they taught you?
I'm not a big regret guy, but I think if there was one thing, probably earlier in my career of the NFL, I wish I studied the game more. You know, moving from when I, because I was just so good in college that I was able to, you know, I worked my tail off on the back end, but on the field of play, I wish I understood the game more. And as I got older, by like year 7, 8, I probably made me more money, but I wish I just understood the game a little bit more and put that. So it's not a big regret. It's just one of those, like, I think sometimes it's one of those, it's almost like a learning piece of like, man, I learned it so late from some guys that were so good at it that I could have been better in my career early, but I was in this mindset of just trying to make it because I didn't think how long I was going to play. So that would probably be my, you know, like I said, regret, but more of a learning piece. And I think that's the thing, like, I'm not a big living on regret. Like, there's a rhyme and a reason to where you're at in your life, right? And maybe the good Lord had a plan and put you into that position for a reason. So it's not regretful. It's like, man, can I learn and move forward at the same time? I know that's kind of like different, but that's just my way of thinking. It's like, man, if I made a decision, I made it, so be it. And sometimes that's why I live so fast and hard sometimes. But at the same time, it's not so much a regret. It's like, man, okay, well, if I live on that, I'm going to screw myself in that future instead of like, hey, so be it. It is what it is, and that's over. Let's go tomorrow, you know?
I would imagine too, Jason, because you learned that and recognized the value and importance of studying the game, that you now as a head coach are doing that more than ever and surrounding yourself with fellow coaches who are doing that for you all as well.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that becomes tenfold as you just continue to grow and help that these fellow players do that as they're going through their process too.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I want them to be able to step into the collegiate world and be like, man, because of the stuff you taught me from the playing and the lifting and this, like bringing higher level stuff, like if you decide to go to that next level, that you're steps ahead. So,
third question for you.
Yep.
I think that life is just a gift. And I believe part of making it a gift is having things on your calendar that you're looking forward to that create an excitement in your world. What's on your calendar, Jason, that you're looking forward to?
Looking forward to, moving forward, I think we, you know, get to watch my daughters, my kids play sports. I'm looking forward to, you know, one of the reasons I took coaching was also to coach my son, and who I've been coaching for a long time. So this year he steps into the varsity level as a sophomore. So I look forward to kind of making him, watch him make his impact moving forward. I think it's just one of those things, like, you know, just there's a lot of defining moments from vacations and practice. We start football, to, you know, coming up here and things like that. So there's just a lot of different things in our life that you get to appreciate and, you know, just move forward, whether it's with family or friends or, you know, simple things in life too. But yeah, just a lot of different things coming forward.
Yeah, I think that's just one of the highlights for me. It's like, oh, I know I got this going on this day, and I'm really looking forward to that. I think it's just kind of a fun attribute of life. It just creates a little exciting piece.
Yeah, definitely.
The fourth question for you is a little bit on the opposite end. So when your day ends and you're in bed reflecting on the day, what is it that you hoped to have brought to the world that day?
Impact. Probably my number one impact. Like, who have I I make it a point, especially in football, to talk to different kids every day, right? And so I don't always see them every day, but, you know, who have you impacted in a certain way? Maybe it's my own kids. Right? Maybe it's my wife. Maybe it's somebody in the gym. Like, I want to know that I made an impact one way or another. Like, did I get someone's mindset? Did I mentally change somebody today? Like, can I do that? Like, to me, is like, you know, can I lay down and say, hey, like, someone's laying there saying, man, he got me to think a different way, or he got me to be better, or he got me to do this, or he taught me this. Like, to me, is like, that's what I do. And I go so hard all day that usually that... Usually when I lay down, I got about 60 seconds before my eyes close.
But that's it.
That's about it. So I'm going to take it.
You can run through in those 60 seconds all those people you've left an impact on. Yeah. My final question for you, Jason, do you have any piece of advice that you would offer to a specific sector of the audience or just the audience abroad?
Yeah, I think as a whole, or I guess we'll start as a young kid. If you're looking to whatever age that is, any middle school or high school or things like that, like, if you have a dream or you want to do something, like, there's a lot of people that in my life that told me no, right? I wasn't fast enough. I wasn't strong enough. You weren't this, you weren't that. And honestly, it was the mental approach to just keep pushing forward. Like, I'm going to use you to get better, right? And I think a lot of that happens. There's going to be a lot of people, especially you're going through puberty and you're growing and you're going through family things and you're going through, you know, adolescence and all this, there's so many people that are gonna be on your side, not on your side, ups and downs. Like, keep pushing forward, man. Life's hard. It is. Every day is a blessing, but life is hard. So for that, for everybody else in the world, just believe you could do more. We can all do more. We can all help somebody to spread, right? You help one, it helps two, it helps four, it just starts multiplying, right? One, you can help somebody, and we can all do more. We can do more than we think, and it's hard sometimes, right? You can get lost out there. You can really get lost, but to believe that you really, truly, you have more in your side, you have more in your inner self than you really think you do. And it goes back, like I said, that sacrifice, that push in the gym, that maybe in the business of thinking you can't do something, like, we can all do it. It's just a matter of, like, keep pushing, and when times get tough, keep going. It'll crack, but just don't stop before it cracks. Just keep going.
And when it does crack, I think that reward is so amazing because you see the bountiful blessings in your life too, right? Yeah. And I don't think you do it for the reward, but also one of the Jesuit principles that I went to school hearing all the time, right, is that you develop yourself so that you can help develop everyone else too, in essence. And I think that's so real and so appropriate for what we've been talking about, because if you keep lifting yourself up and you're working to lift everyone else up.
Yeah, man, then that's the ultimate thing. It's like, you know, you when you crack the code and you keep cracking, I think it's easier to go back and to build people up and have them come with you. It's like, man, I've done this. I've been there. I've cracked it. I've keep pushing. And it's like, hey, man, let me help you. Just follow me. You'll crack it too eventually. And it's the ultimate to me, the road of success, right? Can you crack it, come back down? You're gonna crack another door, but can you help somebody else that can keep coming too? And right, to me, that's the ultimate journey of life. It's like, you know, when you leave here someday, like, great. Did you make a ton of money and this and that? Or, hey man, I helped all these people, millions of people, just, you know, get better and push forward, and they helped me too, right? Like you said, that gratitude and, you know, moving forward.
You're building a great community here, Jason, both at the gym and with the students that you're teaching, getting those players ready for this season coming up here. I think it's very tangible in our conversation how much of an impact you're having, again, to what you reflect on each night, the impact that you're having on other people. And I think that's really awesome. So I can't thank you enough for this conversation, Jason, and you taking the time to just share that with me and with our audience and all the powerful mindsets that you exhibit each and every day.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and I hope it makes a change out there for someone, and someone can grab a hold of this and move forward and make some difference in their life or someone else's. So I appreciate you having
me. Absolutely will be. To our audience, to that point, if you heard something in this conversation that you think applies to someone else that you think they should hear, definitely make sure you send them this episode. One of the coolest opportunities that we have with the rise of technology is being able to be so personal with someone and just say, like, hey, like, heard this today, hey, thought about this today, made me think of you. And you're making a very specific connection with someone in doing that. So I urge you to do that. This has been episode 77 with Jason Trusnick, a former NFL star, a man doing so many great things with the people around him in the gym, both as players and then now he has like a coach too, the Respectful Dog. I can't thank him enough, and I can't thank you, our audience, enough. So hit that subscribe button. I don't know what you're waiting for. We keep delivering you these top-tier content, these conversations that are changing lives. I'm your host, Joe Clark, signing off of episode 77 of Chats with Clark. Thanks for listening.